You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to see you. I should say good day to sound more Aussie. Right, but glad you're here, and what a wonderful experience. Every time I come here, it is like things just go up a whole new level, and not to mention, this is like the biggest picture I've ever seen of myself. This is huge. It's like, wow, who is that guy? Well, hey, listen, this is an incredible place, and I want to honor your pastors. Can we give them a big hand? They are just remarkable pastors, and you know, it's amazing because I come here and I get inspired because we're launching new campuses, and we have our first, actually in March, we launched our Orange County campus as well as our European, our Netherlands location as well. And so we have some things that are very exciting. I'm very excited about what God is doing through Resound Church. But I will say this, coming here, the faith in this house is exceptional. What God is doing here is wonderful. So keep encouraged, keep strengthened, because God is on the move. He's doing something incredible in Jesus' name. Amen. But we are suffering right now. You know, we left, just so you know, it was about just over 90 when I left, and it was tough. It was hot. You know, it does get chilly sometimes. Sometimes we have to close our sliding door on our balcony probably about, I don't know, like 3 or 4 times a year. But here's the deal, is that God is good, amen? And we're all winners, whether it's raining or whether it's you're happy or sad, God is good, and we are not called to lose, amen? I believe we're called to win. We are not like the Jets in Jesus' name. And so let's jump in to John chapter 18. And let's pray. Father, I just pray in your mighty name that you'll open up our hearts. I pray today will be more than just a lecture. I pray today will be more than just a moment where we hear words. I pray that this will be a moment where we really engage with you, Jesus, where you help us to fall in love with who you are and help us to fall in love with who we are in you. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you that we get to be in church today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause, everyone say, for this cause. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Now, what's interesting here is that Jesus is dragged into this kangaroo court, this situation where the religious leaders completely rejected Jesus. And so the people who were the experts on Christian or faith in the day had completely rejected who Jesus is. Jesus was betrayed at this point. This is a moment where he wasn't just rejected by religious leaders, but at this point he was rejected by 12 of his closest friends, the people that he had done life with for years, the people that he had called, that he had done miracles with, that shared experiences with. Every one of them had turned their back on Jesus, and some of them even denying Jesus, that they even knew Jesus. And this is a point now where Jesus is dragged, going through all this rejection. He's standing before Pilate, and Pilate asks him a question and starts speaking about a kingdom. And his response is, "This is not my kingdom is not of this world." And he says, "If it were, I could send servants." Another word is actually angels. I could send angels to come and defend me. But instead of choosing that defensive posture, I'm going to choose, his response is this: "For this cause I was born." So rather than being defensive, he chose to bring clarity to what he was brought on planet Earth for. For this cause, I was born. He had this moment where he could have reacted, defended, but he chose to do what he was born to do. He was going to do the cause of Christ and focus on the cause that he was on planet Earth for. Can I tell you the best thing for us to do when we are in conflict, when we feel under accusation, when we feel like we are under attack or we're disappointed in ourselves, let down, frustrated in other people. Come on, has anybody else ever been there? Where we have had moments where we're just sad at people, sad at the way people react, disappointed in what is going on in life. Can I tell you the best thing is not to be in a defensive, protective moment, but the best thing you can do is decide in your heart, I'm going to do what God has put me on planet Earth for. I'm going to live for the cause of Christ, the greatest cause on planet Earth. And I'm going to do what I am actually born to do, which is actually your true self. It's who you're truly born to be. You know, we've all had moments, I think, where we've had the blood rush to our face. We've got frustrated when someone cuts us off in traffic. Apparently that's a thing here. Getting cut off is like part of your rhythm, right? It's like, it's not like when you go to the Midwest, you go to a four-way stop sign, everyone gives way and everyone's just waiting, right? And you can definitely tell you the New York area, right? Because nobody's giving way to anybody. you've all felt that moment in traffic or frustrating moment where maybe a boss or somebody has a confronting moment with you, or maybe something goes wrong and you can kind of react the wrong way. I'll never forget, there was one clear moment where this had happened. I was driving in my car years ago. This is when I was living in Australia. And that's where I'm from, by the way. And it's not a pirate accent. I'm from Australia. And so I was driving my car at night. I was coming home. And I was with my wife and we're driving. And as I was driving, I remember driving and I heard this thump, thump on my car. And I was like, what in the world was that? And so I pull over. And someone had egged my car. There was like egg that had smashed all over the top. I was so mad. I was so angry at that point. I got to tell you, I was not functioning in my truest self at that point. Who knows, my protective parts were rearing its head. I was mad. I was ready to go. I was in fight mode. And so I got out. I was so mad. And I could see the college kids that had done it. So I got out and I yelled at them. And I said, listen, you pack of morons. You've missed with the wrong moron. And Alyssa, my wife, turns to me. She says, look, you called yourself a moron. And I said, whatever, I was so mad. I get red face. I'm very frustrated. I hop in the car and I see them and I start driving and chasing them. And so I'm driving and there I could see them and I'm catching up to them in the car. I'm so mad as I'm following them. This is stuff I would never normally do, except that I am just mad. I'm frustrated. I'm chasing this. These college kids are like running for their lives at this point. They're looking back like, oh, Jesus, help, and they're running. And I remember driving. I'm like, listen, Alyssa, I'm doing this so they can cry out to Jesus. They're thinking about eternity right now. They're thinking about eternal things, right? And so I'm chasing them, and then they jump a fence, and I remember pulling out and waiting. I get out, and there's a parking lot that I had waited at, and I was looking around for them, and I noticed some cars that were around in the area that were parked. I thought, I think those are their cars. So I decided persistently, I was still mad. I waited for them to come back. And so I just waited and waited, and I was right. They ended up coming back. And I was so mad. They came back, and Alyssa turned to me, just whispered, remember, you're a Christian. Remember, you're a pastor. And I was like, shh, shh, shh. And these kids came up, and I said, listen. I said, I just went worst case scenario. What if I was an old grandma? and I was an old lady, and I crashed the car and killed some other goats or something. What happened if I would kill, or I could have rolled the car, or something terrible could have happened? And what could have happened would have been terrible. Lucky it was me that you hit the cow with, right? Like all the eggs. And lucky it was me. Someone as kind and gentle as me. And I said, I am being nice to you right now. I said, we can talk about insurance and exchange numbers and whatnot, but listen, this is not okay. He starts opening up and saying, I'm so sorry. This was a mistake. I wish I never did it. It was a dumb prank. I was like, you're right. I said, where do you live? They said, well, I live on the south side of the city. And I said, listen, you have no business being here, especially doing this. I don't want to see you in my neighborhood doing this again. And so go back to where you live and be a good person, right? And then I looked. And I was like walking away, and I noticed something in the corner of my eye. I looked at his car, and there was a Christian Fishy sticker in his car. I was like, hold up. Wait a second. That's a Christian Fishy sticker. I know a Christian Fishy sticker when I see one. And he said to me, he got really panicky, went pale. And he began to speak, and he said, look, honestly, I kind of am a Christian. Well, I said, well, are you kind of a Christian or are you a Christian? Which is it? He said, well, I'm a Christian. I said, well, I'm a pastor. And I said, I was chasing you down, man, just like the prodigal, you know, the father chasing down the prodigal. I was running after you, man. That's what I was doing. And we started talking and joking. And actually what was crazy is, you know, the blood kind of went back, things settled down, and I went back to my true self. And in that moment, we started talking and sharing about his story, his journey. He opened up and said, to be honest with you, I have been backslidden. I've been away from God. I'm not right with God. My heart's not good at this point. He said, I haven't been to church for months. And he said, this is a big wake-up call for me. So we had prayed. And what was incredible is about 2 years later, I bumped into him at a conference. I said, bro, what's going on? He goes, you know, ever since that night, I've been following Jesus. My life has been changed. I was like, you know, running people down with cars does work. Come on, Jesus. But here's the deal. Even in that moment, the truest version of myself was not chasing a kid down with a car. The true version of myself was being who I was born to be. And I think the truth is we all have these egg moments where we get hit and we feel like we got egg on our face or egg on our car or egg on our life. And we want to react to people where we get offended. But I believe the truth is in those moments, that is the best moment for us to go back to say, I know what I'm born to do. I'm going to do what I'm born to do. I'm going to live for the cause of Christ, and I'm not going to react. I'm not going to react to life situations, the things that are going wrong in my life. I believe we're called to respond and not react to situations, things that make us flare up. You see, we have our true version of ourselves. And then we have these protective parts. And when we have arguments and conflicts in our life, most of the time that conflict is done out of these protective parts. It's these protective parts that are trying to defend our position in marriage or friendships or work conflict. Most conflicts we have, the Bible actually says, are from conflicts within. And I believe it is true that the true battle that happens when we have fights and conflicts and quarrels is because we are defending ourselves, the protective parts. And like Jesus, we got to choose what we're born to do far more than just defending ourselves. I think often we don't live missionally, we don't serve and do the things in our life that we're called to do, that we know to do, because of these protective parts. Well, I once was involved in ministry, but then I got hurt, a little burnt out. And so then I pulled back. I once was in relationship with people. I had a healthy Jesus relationship, connection with other people. I used to read my Bible and it just wasn't working like I thought it would. Can I tell you, I see so many times people quit because of their protective parts as opposed to doing what they're called to do. There are many things in our life that reveal this and reveal these protective paths when we're doing and acting not according to who we truly are, but our protective parts of ourselves. And I think one of these is actually one of the greatest revealers is when someone succeeds in an area of their life where you're kind of struggling in. You know, when you, maybe you're single and you see someone get married and you see another person get married and another person get married and then another person gets married and you're like, congratulations. Well done. I'm so proud of you for getting married and I'm not married. Or maybe you're renting a house and one of the things you'll believe in God for is I want to own a home. And then someone says, hey, I've just bought a house. You want to come to my, I'm going to have a welcome party at my house. And you're like, that's so cool that you bought a house. Then another person buys a house. Then another person buys a house and they tell you how good it is and how much they got a good deal and how wonderful it is. You're like, that's awesome. Or maybe you can't have kids and you see people have babies all around you. Nothing reveals our protective parts, our insecurities, and touches those things where someone else is succeeding where you are failing. Or you feel like you're failing. I think when we're healthy, the healthiest, truest version of ourselves celebrates other people, whether they have something we have or not. The healthiest version of ourselves knows how to love people unconditionally and without reserve, knows how to give away and be generous because you're not afraid of missing out in life. A person that is healthy, the truest form of who you are, is highly generous, highly loving, highly forgiving, highly missional. But I believe these protective parts rob us of relationships, opportunities, forgiveness. And I believe that God wants you to discover the truest version of who you are. Think about in your life. I believe, like Jesus was rejected and then entered into probably the greatest moment or the greatest moment in history, I think the greatest moments in our life are connected to the highest points of rejection. I think in our lives, when you think about moments where you get a new career or you get a pay raise, you're always putting yourself out and the highest moment of the possibility of rejection is usually tied to the highest moment of opportunity. And I think that it's when we function according to our true self, we no longer fear rejection. But actually embrace the fact that even Jesus was rejected, that rejection is okay as long as we manage it. Let's embrace who we are. You know, I remember talking to this guy one time when I was a young adult pastor. He said to me, he goes, Luke, I want to get married. I was like, that's great, buddy. I said, so how many dates have you been on in the last, year? He said to me, honestly, I've been like on none in the last year. And I said to him, how do you think it works? Like, you want to get married, but there's kind of a process. Like, you're not going to just show up to church and there's a lady in a wedding dress waiting for you. Like, well, I'm here. Welcome to church. You want to get married, right? So there is a process. You got to get a number. You got to connect or you got to stalk them on Instagram, right? You got to do whatever it is you need to do to connect with them. But I said, listen, here's the deal. I said, if you ask like 10 girls out in a year's period, right? And you get 10 no's and maybe then after that you get one yes. Are those 10 no's not worth that one big yes? Come on now. And I can tell you one thing. When I'm facing the biggest moments of possibility, you kind of have that sense. And so he came up to me. I think about a week later, he high-fived me. He's like, Luke, I did it. I asked a girl on a date. And I said, what did she say, bro? And he high-fived me. He goes, Luke, she said, no. I said, come on, bro. Attaboy. I was like, but don't be the creeper that goes around asking every girl out in the church. Come on, don't be the creeper. No one likes that. It's awkward. And so But here's the deal, embracing the possibility of rejection. Listen, when we are functioning to our truest selves, we can put ourselves out there a little bit. We're not afraid to say, you know what, I'm going to try out. I think I've got a gift in worship. I'm going to try that out a little bit on size. I think I'm going to try some things out in my life. I'm going to do some things I wouldn't do. Start that business. Do some things that even if I get rejected, I'm going to be comfortable. Why? Because I'm not going to function to my protective parts, but my true self. And even if that gets rejected, I'm going for it in Jesus' name. I'll never forget the thing that I thought when I first started Resound Church. We launched about 8 years ago, and I'll never forget thinking, well, who will show up? Who will be with me? Can I tell you, the enemy loves to speak to those protective parts. But it wasn't until I said, you know what, even if nobody shows up, that at least I've succeeded. Why? Because I've done what God has called me to do, which is for this cause of Christ. I'm going to do what God has wired me to do, what I'm born for. I'm going to step out in faith and do those things God's called me to do. But listen, as long as I'm functioning to those protective parts, I will never do what God's called me to do. It's when I decide I'm going to do what I'm born to do in Jesus' name. See, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he's made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity in their hearts. I believe that God has put eternity on the hearts of all of us. It's in every one of us. You don't have to ask or get your kids to talk about what happens after death, after life, what happens with eternity. It is in us to ask those questions, to wonder. It's in us to look at the sky and actually look and go, wow, God, who are you? Where are you? It's in every one of us. God has put inside of us the desire to seek him and seek eternal things. I believe God has put eternity in your heart, whether you believe in Jesus or not. That desire for Jesus is there. That need for Jesus is there. You were born for such a time as this. And I believe we are called to live for the greatest cause, which is called the cause of Christ. You see, Jesus in that moment, rather than deciding to become defensive, he chose to live for the cause. He decided that I know I'm bringing hope. That I can choose being defensive, or I can choose actually making a difference in billions of people's lives. And I think sometimes we come to that crossroads where we decide, am I going to give in to being trying to protect everything I have and hold everything tight, my offense, my hurts, my worries, my fears? Or am I going to make that decision to live for the cause of Christ, to do what I'm put on planet Earth for? And in this, Jesus decided, made a clear decision. I'm choosing to redefine humanity. I'm choosing to be the redefinition in people's lives. You know, for me, I think one of the greatest words is the word but. But it can be also one of the worst words. You see, the word but can be a justifying word. You know, things like, I like you, it's often a breakup term, correct? I like you, but here comes the truth. It's often a justifying thing where we use to justify things that we're doing. Now, well, I was going to show up to work on time, but there was traffic. Are you shocked? Like I live in Southern California. It's like there was traffic. What? Right? When you're in the New York area, like, well, I went to Manhattan and there's traffic, huh? What? But we use that but as a justifying response, right? It's not just for justifying things. It can also be, the word but can also be used to redefine things. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Here's the deal. The word but is very important to us. And I believe in Jesus' name, we got to look at our butt, come on. And we got to decide what is us, what is it for us? What does it mean for us? Because I know God specializes in redefinition. He specializes in those moments. One of my favorite scriptures about the church is found in Acts 12:5, where it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but, everyone say but, the church was earnestly praying to God for him. You have a problem, and then there is a but. And I believe, understanding Jesus came on earth. He came to earth so that we would be lost, but now we would be found. People that were sick now can find that but in Jesus and be healed. I think for us, we got to look at our lives. How are we living when it comes to that word? I used to live for Jesus, but here comes the protective part. I was hurt in church. Well, can I tell you something? Anyone that is around any human will get hurt in church. Is anybody being hurt by somebody else in their life? Anybody being hurt? Can I tell you one thing? That does not become the justification of walking away from anything. I once was present with my family, but I had some really big challenges in my life and work got in the way. Are we using that word but as a way to get out? Or are we making a decision to use that word but as I am? I know what I'm called to. I'm going to do what I'm put on planet Earth for. Is that there might be a problem? Listen to this language. Peter was in prison. That is the problem. But there is a church praying in an AMC theater, believing for people to be free in their family, their brothers and sisters, their moms and dads, their sons and daughters, people in their life that are broken, hurting, that need healing in their world. Listen, there might be a problem in our city. Maybe there's a drug problem. Maybe there's challenges with all sorts of issues, with abuse and things that are happening in our community. But what I know is this, but there is a church that is alive, that is moving, that is making an impact, that is praying, believing for transformation in Jesus' name. Listen, it is at this point that we decide, for this cause I will live. You see, I might feel under accusation. I might be disappointed, but I know my future is greater than my past. I might feel rejected, but I know that God accepts me. It doesn't matter what people say about me. Why? Because I know the but that God's called me to. Come on, let's be about these buts in Jesus' name. Amen? Come on, the right but in Jesus' name. So let's land this plane. Just going to go through some key points. The first is, know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The first point of understanding the cause which you're called to live for is understanding that God has wired you beautifully. The Bible says this in Psalms 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know, if you think God made a mistake with you, it's very hard to praise God. We praise God because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I trust that you know what you're doing, God. You are the potter and I am the clay. However you form me, whether I'm a loud person, whether I'm a quiet person, whether I'm details or I'm big picture, whatever it is, I am determined in my heart to not only love Jesus, but love who I am in Jesus. Making a decision that this, what I am born for, what I am born for is worthy, that God didn't make a mistake. And it says, I know that full well. My prayer for you today is that you know that full well, that God made you, that you are beautifully and fearfully made. The second thing is, bring clarity to the cause. Bring clarity to the cause. Understand what you're put on earth for. I was in London, and I'll never forget when I went to get on the subway, I was I was carrying a backpack. That's all I traveled to Europe with, and it's just a backpack. And so I know exactly what I need to pack. I'm very strategic. I know how to I roll my shirts and everything. I know exactly how much I need because I know exactly where I'm going. I know what to pack. And what you see are these people that travel often for the first time. It's like they're moving house. It's like they have like every possible thing they can put on the plane, you know? And they're like struggling to get even press the button on the elevator, and they're struggling to walk around. And the streets of London aren't exactly savvy to people having tons of luggage, and it takes them a lot longer to get everywhere. Whereas I'm like walking every backpack, I'm ready to go. I think this looks like what happens when you understand where you're going. Because when you understand where you're going, you know how to pack for where you're going. The problem is people that get everything, they're putting their hair dryers in there, they're putting everything in there, and maybe I'll have this and maybe I'll have that. They don't really, can't quite picture where they're going, so they're like packing for everything just in case. This is what happens in life. I'm gonna fill my life up with a whole lot of things just in case, because I don't wanna miss out. But when you live your life for where you're going, you pack for according to where you're going. So there are some things in your life that you shouldn't have just because you can have it in your life. Well, I'm going to overschedule my kids' lives because just in case they're missing out. I'm going to add a whole bunch of stuff to my life because I'm afraid. Listen, put in your life only the things you need for where you're going. No more. Understand what God has called you to. Define your life. Say, God, what have you put me on planet Earth for? What am I born for? And I'm going to do that. The same is true with offense and unforgiveness and resentment of other people, past hurts, things. I'm not going to put baggage in my life to slow me down for where I'm called to go in Jesus' name. Life is incredible, and I need to run this incredible life as fast as I can for the cause of Christ. So I love the people around me. I love what I'm called to do in Jesus' name, and I'm not going to get weighed down by things I don't need in my life in Jesus' name. The third thing is don't react to life, but respond to God's will. Fourth, believe in the goodness of God. Jesus, in that moment, being on trial, had to believe in the goodness of his Father. He had to believe that God would raise him up and God would actually be the one that vindicates him. In every high pressure moment, come on, we have got to be in the position when we say, I trust your goodness. Even though things are bad right now, even though I'm not happy with things, I'm going to trust in the goodness of God. The next thing is eagles don't get stuck in chicken coops. Here's the thing about toxic people. When you get healthy and you decide I'm not going to be a defensive person, but I'm going to live to my true self, you'll get healthier in every part of your life. But that is a threat to unhealthy people. And what toxic people do is they try to bring you down. You're trying to soar like an eagle, but what they're trying to do is get you into some kind of chicken fight in a chicken coop. Toxic people love company. And as you try to break out and get healthier in your thinking and around people that are growing you, what you'll find is this hand that tries to reach out to you and pull you down. And notice what it is. It's just like what happened with Jesus. Is that, listen, it is accusational. It is in nature ways that people reach out to say, I'm going to throw jabs at you. I'm going to make accusations to pull you down. Make a decision. I'm going to live free. I'm going to live higher. Even though they might live down here and try to pull me down, I'm not going to get pulled down in Jesus' name. I am free. The last two things, life can be tough, therefore get around champions. That's why your community groups are so valuable. Get around people that can champion you. And the last thing is the response of loving Christ is to love the cause of Christ. Fall in love with Jesus. Get a tender heart towards Jesus. Maybe your heart's got hard. Maybe your heart needs to be softened a little bit. Today, my challenge to you is this. Fall in love with Jesus. Maybe you just never really have had a relationship with God. I'd say it's, maybe you know about it. Maybe Jesus is an Easter story or a Christmas story. But he's a story far more than he is a real person. Maybe you once had a relationship with God, but you know in your heart, things have got sour in your heart. You're kind of toughened and life's got hard and there's been distractions. And really in your life, it's been a defensive posture as opposed to doing what you're born to do. Well, today I believe that God wants you to come home, to change your heart and say, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Could you close your eyes and bow your heads with me? If you're around this room right now and you were to say, I'm not right with Jesus, I'm away from Jesus. I once was following Jesus, but now things have just got bad. If this is you right now, all across this room, if you're away from Jesus or you've just never really said yes to Jesus, all across this room, I want to pray with you. I don't want to embarrass you. I just simply want to pray for you. If that is you, can you show me by lifting your hand right now? I want to pray for you where you're seated. Yes, thank you. Wonderful, wonderful. Who else would say yes? Who else would say yes to coming back to Jesus or to Jesus? That this day, thank you. Wonderful. Who else would say, you know what? That's me. That's me. Thank you. Wonderful. Hands going up all over this place. Thank you, Jesus. Who else would say, that's me? That's me. In this place, let this be a sacred moment between you and Jesus. Thank you. Wonderful. Who else would say, that's me? If I'm honest, that's me. Right now, lift up your hand. Let's do business with God. Thank you. You got more hands going up. Amen, amen, amen. If you could, just repeat this prayer after me so nobody's alone in this place. All of us are going to say this together so no one's alone. Dear Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life to change me, to make me new. I turn from what I was and I turn to you. Come on, all together. And I turn to you. I thank you that you died. Thank you that you rose again, that I may have life and life eternal. And in Jesus' name, I'm a new creation. In Christ Jesus, amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.